Good evening. This is Tom Rowe. You're tuned in to Turn on the News on Free 103.9. You can go to newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about anything you hear here and links to international radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Tonight, we are going to look at the FCC's deal with Verizon, the Dish Network, too, and low-power FM with the FCC. We also have solar weather. This day in radio history looks at truth or consequences. And we're going to look at the radio tour with some radio art samples on Turn on the News. Scanner underneath us from his time-lapse CD. Time for tonight's headlines, radio headlines. Tom Cheridar at VentureBeat explains the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing Wednesday, March 21st, where executives from Verizon and Comcast claimed consumers would benefit from the approval of a multi-billion dollar spectrum deal between the largest U.S. carrier and the country's biggest cable television providers. Cheridar writes, quote, "Last year, Verizon agreed to spend $3.6 billion to obtain a portion of spectrum currently owned by Spectrum Co., a joint venture that consists of Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Bright House Networks, and Cox Communications. That deal is currently under investigation by antitrust regulators due to concerns that it could stifle competition and impact consumers negatively. If approved, it would mean that the majority of the wireless spectrum in the United States, which is used to transmit data via cell phones, GPS devices, radios, broadcast TV stations, and more, would belong to only two companies, Verizon and AT&T. And because this is the only nationwide portion of the spectrum available for the next several years, if not longer, it also means there likely won't be many new companies emerging as competitors in the wireless market," unquote. Senator Al Franken wondered about it. He said, "This deal seems to be to completely abandon the goals of the Telecom Act, the Telecommunications Act of 1996. Verizon Executive Vice President Randall Milch explained that, quote, "his company would dutifully spend billions of dollars to build out Spectrum Co.'s spectrum into a viable wireless network. This in turn would generate more money for Verizon by improving their overall wireless network and charging customers to use it," unquote, Cheridar writes. You can read the full story at VentureBeat. And that link is at newsroom.free103.9.org. Andy Vogue in the Denver Post reports that the Dish Network wants to use spectrum it purchased to provide mobile broadband for smartphones and is asking the Federal Communications Commission to drop a condition that handsets using the new spectrum be able to communicate with both satellites and ground-based cellular towers. Quote, "While acknowledging that the FCC rulemaking can take close to a year, Dish is hoping for an expedited process because of the nation's looming spectrum crunch," unquote, Vogue wrote in the company's hometown newspaper. Dish Network is based in Colorado. And there's a full story in the Denver Post. NOAA's got space weather forecast for solar and geomagnetic activity from March 19th through April 14th. Solar activity is expected to remain at low levels March 19th through 26th, or March 27th, and then March 28th. They're expected to return in two regions. Even though these regions are on the far side of the solar disk, imagery supports that they are still active in producing CMEs. An increase in to low to moderate levels is expected March 28th through April 11th as both regions populate the front side of the solar disk. A return to predominantly low levels is expected to prevail for the remainder of the forecast period. You can see that complete forecast at newsroom.free103.9.org and a link to NOAA's space weather. Free Speech Radio News has another report about what we've been talking about all week, the Local Community Radio Act and Low Power FM. We've been talking about on Turn on the News all week. Earlier this week, the Federal Communications Commission announced a decision to implement the key provisions of the Local Community Radio Act. And Free Speech Radio News talks to Brandy Doyle from Prometheus Radio Project about the possibility of thousands of new low-power FM stations across the country.
The Federal Communications Commission approved a rule this week that will boost the number of low-power radio stations around the country. The decision implements a key provision of the Local Community Radio Act, a law Congress approved in 2010 that removed restrictions on creating more low-power local stations. It took about 10 years of community advocacy to pass the bill, which the corporate broadcast lobby opposed. Monday's decision affects thousands of applications for translators, which repeat programming from large stations usually outside of the community, sometimes far away. Some media corporations apply for dozens of translators to rebroadcast their material, decreasing the diversity of voices on the airwaves. Brandy Doyle is with the Prometheus Radio Project, a group that pushed for passage of the Local Community Radio Act. She said this vote shifts the balance of who dominates the national airwaves.
If the FCC hadn't dismissed all of these applications, then translators would have filled up all the available frequencies that could have gone to local community groups. And so they dismissed them in order to make room for new low-power FM, LPFM stations that can be used for local groups who want to play local news and information, who want to have local music and artists on, and people can use their own airwaves for news that's relevant to their communities.
Following this week's announcement, locally based nonprofit organizations can apply starting this fall to create radio stations that will broadcast 3 to 5 miles in any direction. Doyle says this will especially help outreach and education in marginalized communities.
Consolidation in commercial media ownership has really left most communities with fewer and fewer options for news of any kind, much less a diversity of viewpoints in the news. And it certainly doesn't meet the needs of people who speak languages other than English, for working people, for women. So the chance for us to tell our own stories and be able to use local airwaves for local needs is really important, and not just in getting informed, but in developing solutions to problems on the ground.
Many immigrant rights groups have expressed interest in creating radio stations to spread information and better mobilize their urban communities, including Puente in Arizona, which has been organizing against the anti-immigrant law SB 1070, and the Somali American community in Minneapolis.
We'll be back in a second with Media Minutes from Free Press.
Now Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tavey. Verizon has joined forces with a cadre of cable companies, including Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and Cox, in a controversial deal that would divide up the broadband market. Verizon is vying to buy $3.6 billion in unused spectrum from the cable companies to expand its own network. Giving up the spectrum means cable companies will back away from investing in the wireless market. In return, Verizon has agreed to lay off of cable companies' turf by not building out residential broadband fiber networks. Josh Levy, the Internet Campaign Director for Free Press, said the companies should be rivals, but instead are helping each other corner their respective markets.
Verizon won't compete with the cable companies anymore, and the cable companies won't compete with Verizon anymore. It's kind of like the five families of The Godfather getting together and dividing up territory. This is pretty much what Verizon and these cable companies have done.
In addition, the companies have proposed a cross-marketing agreement to sell each other's services to their customers, further solidifying their dominance. Verizon is already the leading wireless provider in the country. Levy said the deal is bad news for the public because it would stifle competition.
So if you live in a community that has one cable broadband provider and you've been hoping that a company like Verizon would come in and build a high-speed fiber optic network, your hopes are going to be dashed. It's not going to do that anymore. You are going to be stuck with that cable provider. And that cable provider might not be willing to build out into underserved areas. It might not be willing to provide prices that are affordable for all residents. And so a lot of people who have been stuck with inadequate access or no access are still going to be stuck.
The deal has already raised eyebrows in Congress. The Senate Antitrust Subcommittee has held a hearing this week to discuss the deal, and the Federal Communications Commission asked the companies to submit further details on the arrangement. Levy said public outrage is growing against the deal.
Big broadband companies like Verizon, like AT&T in the past, rather than try to innovate and serve customers through better service and better pricing, instead make these power grabs. They can own even more of the market, charge us even more, and get around the need to provide better service and greater choice.
To learn more, visit SaveTheInternet.com.
Reporters Without Borders Press Freedom Index says that crackdown was the word of the year in 2011. Never have journalists, through their reporting, vexed the enemies of freedom so much. Never have acts of censorship and physical attacks on journalists seemed so numerous. With the warmer weather, will likely come more Occupy protests and more journalists trying to get the story. But this spring, any surge in abusive tactics against journalists will be met with a renewed effort to protect the First Amendment and support the rights of both mainstream and citizen journalists to report on the protests. Free Press created an audio piece as a message from our members to journalists.
I'm Josh Stearns, Journalism and Public Media Campaign Director at Free Press. When we asked our members to stand with the nearly 70 journalists who've been arrested covering Occupy Wall Street protests, the response was profound. More than 40,000 people wrote letters and called their mayors to demand that they uphold the First Amendment. What follows are just a few of the comments our members sent in.
Friends in the journalist community, thank you for your commitment to getting the story, the truth, as close as possible and bringing it to us, the public. I'm shocked that you are victims of this violation of your rights by those who are willing to violate our laws and erode our Constitution.
Please keep doing what you're doing. We all know the arrests are wrong, but your work is so important to democracy. We can't have it without you.
Freedom of the press is one of the first and most important notions of the founding of our country. It is not possible to have democracy without it. And as in earlier years, the press extends to anyone reporting, not just those employed by the major outlets.
Do not be discouraged by the outrageous actions of politicians who cannot stand the heat and violate our First Amendment rights. Americans are watching, and we are standing behind you because we know that our freedom depends on your accurate reporting.
I was born into journalism. My father and uncle owned newspapers all their lives. I'm livid at the freewheeling of law enforcement that tramples over the rights of the people by arresting journalists. That supposedly only happens in countries without a constitution like ours.
Your courage in reporting, regardless of the consequences, is amazing. Thank you for doing your job. Now it's our turn to try to help you obtain your freedom. Stay strong.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.
and you're listening to Turn on the News from Free 103.9. You go to newsroom.free103.9 for more information about anything you hear here, including links to international radio art, websites, radio news, media news, and more. Newsroom.free103.9.org. We do want to go into this day in radio history. It's March 23rd, Friday, March 23rd. In 1922, KMJ-AM in Fresno and WEWAM in St. Louis began broadcasting. In 2009, former ABC-AM and ABC radio newsman George Weber was discovered stabbed to death in his apartment. New York Police Department found gay porn pictures scattered about and was labeled a crime of passion. I don't know if it was ever really solved. And in 1940, the radio show Truth or Consequences debuted. Truth or Consequences was on the air from 1940 to 1956. It was a quiz stunt show sponsored by Dove Soap, as well as Ivory Soap, Philip Morris, Pet Milk, and many others. It was originally a parlor game, and Ralph Edwards converted it to a game show, old-time radio. Questions were sent in by radio listeners who received $10 if their question got on the air. So let's hear a little clip from an old episode of Truth or Consequences, which debuted on this day in 1940.
Here comes the Dice Show!
Truth or Consequences!
Let her go!
D-U-Z.
We've been waiting for you. It's time to play Truth or Consequences. Yes, Truth or Consequences, the game that does everything on the air. Brought to you by Dove, the soap that does everything in your wash. And here he is, winner of the Eisenhower Award for Bond Sales and the Meringue Pie Award for Lemon Sales, your Truth or Lots of Nonsense's man, Ralph Edwards.
Thank you very much, Bob Williams. Greetings, party players from beautiful San Francisco, California, where Truth or Consequences is broadcasting two Big E Bond shows tonight in the San Francisco Civic Auditorium. And our Truth or Consequences total in this seventh war alone is now over $13 million, thanks to San Francisco and a whole bunch of other cities. Monday night, Stockton, California, Tuesday, Oakland, next week in Los Angeles. Buy an E and see TRC. By the way, the seventh war loan drive ends soon. Have you done your part to make it a success by buying that extra bond? Why don't you do it, gang? Hello, what is your name, please?
Marion J. Crabtree.
How do you do?
How do you do?
That's a sweet name, Crabtree.
It's sweet apples.
What's that?
Crab apples.
Crab apples. Mm-hmm. Is that what they call
it? Sort of bitter.
What's that?
Sort of bitter.
Well, it gets better as it gets bitter, though,
yes,
doesn't
it? Yes, it gets bitter.
Where are you from, Miss Crabtree?
Well, I'm from two places. I'm from Lincoln, and I'm from temporarily in Vallejo.
But that's just temporarily.
Yes, but I've been there 4 years.
Well, here we go. You've been there 4 years?
Yes, off and on.
You are, in a way, a transient, aren't you, in this thing?
Oh, no, sir, I don't think into that name at all.
No, I mean, transient, I mean, you go from one street...
No, sir, huh? I stay in Lincoln, and then I stay in Vallejo, back and forth.
Off and on.
Off and on.
Off and on, yes.
On and off.
What's that?
On and off.
Now you're changing it.
Have to make it interesting.
Miss Crabtree,
yes.
What brings you to San Francisco, a bus?
Just this.
Just Truth or Consequences?
Yes,
for Ebon's Mrs. We bow to you.
It's my birthday present from my husband.
Well, isn't that sweet? When's your birthday?
It's already the 13th of June on a Friday.
That was mine, Mrs. Crabtree! Happy
That's
birthday
not fair.
To you.
He didn't give me that kiss. He just fooled me.
Oh.
This is Tom Rowe. You're listening to Turn on the News. Free 103.9. That was a little clip from Truth or Consequences, a radio show that debuted on this day in 1940. Now we want to head over to the Radiator and the second issue of the Radiator. It's a website dedicated to radio art a transmission of conceptual sounds and voice thoughts. Radio Auteur was launched to become a web magazine for academics and artists from all over the world to publish their work. In addition to this, Radio Auteur aims to be an online platform for the dissemination of past, present, and future radio art. And so the second issue is out now, and it is filled with all kinds of great stuff. And lots of MP3s for you to sample. Also a long essay, Radio in an Education for Sensibility by Pedro Garbellini. Many others. We want to sample first from Zeppelin something called What's Ether? In radio, and this is the description they give, in radio there are certain expressions that capture the magic of its golden age. For one of these words is ether. When a radio broadcaster uses the expression in ether or through the ether waves, my mind usually goes to the idea of an invisible flying ocean or a vibrating ghost entity delivering sounds woven into a dark blue cape. After all, I never gave it too much thought until I recently came across the word ether in the first pages of A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. I discovered a scientific and historical dimension to the concept involving what has been termed, quote, the most successful failed experiment in science, unquote, and the cornerstone for the second scientific revolution. Science moved on, but the word ether retained its mystical connotation, existing in an imaginary valley somewhere within the spheres of New Age prophets, literature, and radio aficionados. This radio piece is a sound collage evoking the ether as I perceive it, an invisible medium that suspends fragments of old songs lost in the surrounding cosmos, static frequencies between stations and radio waves undulating through time. My fascination with radio comes from working with this elusive medium, invisible and intangible. Radio waves linger and travel once they are broadcast, never quite disappearing, as if the universe was making a moving archive of itself. Go to radioauteur.com. It's RADIAUTEUR.com for more information. But let's hear Zeppelin's Ether. On Turn on the News.
Music with my fingers.
Most of the curious things in the theory of relativity are connected with the velocity of light. It was therefore accepted that light in a vacuum always travels at a certain constant rate, almost exactly 300,000 kilometers per second. The waves were, though the idea has now been dropped, supposed to be in a medium called the ether, and therefore their velocity ought to be relative to the ether. So the ether was thought to pass through bodies like air through a coarse sieve, only more so. Then the Earth in its orbit must have a velocity relative to the ether. If you go for a circular walk on a windy day, you must be walking against the wind part of the way, whatever wind may be blowing. So with the Earth. If you choose 2 days, 6 months apart, when the Earth in its orbit is moving in exactly opposite directions, it must be moving against an ether wind on at least one of those days. Now, if there is an ether wind, it is clear that, relative to an observer on the Earth, light signals travel faster with the wind than across it, and faster across it than against it. Thank you.
Tuned in to Turn on the News. That was Zeppelin with What's Ether. Go to radiator.com for more information there. And go to newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about anything you heard. Or free103.9.org for more information about radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Turn on the news every night at midnight on free103.9.